This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Spanky very much.
If we want to crusade across the nation and try to do away with the homosexuals, then we certainly would have done it on June the 8th after one of the most overwhelming victories in the country. But we didn't. We tried to avoid it and went into a place called Norfolk, Virginia, and were met with protest and all kinds of problems. And
Security agent, security agent.
No, let him stay.
No.
Let him stay.
Well, at least it's a fruit pie. Huh.
Let's pray for him right now. Anita, let's pray. That's all right.
Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity of coming to Des Moines. And Father, I want to ask that you forgive him.
That we love him.
And that we love him.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, the most offensive new show on the planet. I am your host, Stimulator, and a lot of shit has gone down since I left for my West Coast tour. The United Snakes continued its wholesale murder of brown babies in Obamistan, while the military-industrial cock-gobblers from the Democratic Party gave the man your mama calls Obama $106 billion to continue fucking shit up for the next 2 months. That's about $53 billion a month to fight that dumbass war while you struggle to pay that credit card bill and put gas in your car. Yep, petrol prices are back on the rise with a barrel setting you back about 70 bucks. It makes me wonder what the whole point of Operation Iraqi Liberation was all about. Meanwhile, our newest piece of shit president continued breaking campaign promises by backing the Defense of Marriage Act, which denies federal benefits to same-sex married couples. But just to make sure y'all know where Obama stands on the issue of same-sex marriage, I want to play you this clip from October 2008.
Define marriage.
I believe that marriage is the union between a man and a woman. Now, for me as a Christian, for me as a Christian, it's also a sacred union. Mm-hmm. God's in the mix. Uh-huh.
This reminds me of another piece of shit from back in the 90s.
An open statement by a service member that he or she is a homosexual will create a rebuttable presumption that he or she intends to engage in prohibited conduct. But the service member will be given an opportunity to refute that presumption. In other words, to demonstrate that he or she intends to live by the rules of conduct that apply in the military service.
Yep, the man who sprayed chemtrails all over Monica's dress was also a Democrat who had no love for the gay community. These days, Barack can be heard backpedaling because gay folks in the U.S. are a force to be reckoned with.
The community is at the point now where they feel like the Democratic Party has turned their back on them. Gay people in this country feel as though the Democrats and President Obama literally feel as if gays are some kind of political pariah that they shouldn't touch. So the only alternative people have is to fight back, to punish the party.
But before you decide to join the motherfucking resistance and punish Obama, check this shit out.
There may be a number of people who cannot be prosecuted for past crimes. In some cases, because evidence may be tainted. But who nonetheless pose a threat to the security of the United States. If and when we determine that the United States must hold individuals to keep them from carrying out an act of war, we will do so within a system that involves judicial and congressional oversight. And so going forward, my administration will work with Congress to develop an appropriate legal regime so that our efforts are consistent with our values and our Constitution.
They were going to be waiting for me in the car.
He was going to rape me.
I was going to be stabbed.
Right here. Within a year, pre-crime effectively stopped murder in our nation's capital.
Yep, that punk motherfucker wants the power to detain you and keep you in prison indefinitely for future crimes you have not yet committed. The police state has also been in effect over here in Canada. If you are vocally opposing the Winter Olympics, aka
the five cock rings of death,
you may get a little visit from the Popo. The cops dropped in on 15 members of Vancouver's Olympic Resistance Network, But the activists did not say a peep to the pigs, since they have a policy of not cooperating. Submedia contacted one of the agents to ask why the fuck they are harassing the motherfucking resistance.
Why not, right? We've been waiting for a chance. The number one list that CSIS have of domestic threats are people like anti-globalization, anti-racist protesters, indigenous activists, environmentalists, animal rights activists. And those are the type of people that we can target by going through the Olympics. The Olympics is like a great excuse to bring in every element of the security state that we normally can't get away with. Public video monitoring, random searches, intimidation of activists, harassing your neighbors, your family, your workplace. Normally we'd get in a little bit of grief for that, but right now it's like a free-for-all for the police. It's the best time ever for police in Vancouver to do whatever they want.
But while the powers that be ramp up their efforts to silence our movement, brave peeps continue to confront the gluttonous capitalist pigs who relentlessly destroy our home in the name of profit. In Peru, hundreds of indigenous freedom fighters paid with their lives as they battle the pigs to protect their land from logging and gas extraction. In Canada, Mohawk warriors shut down a US border crossing in protest to the arming of Canadian border guards on their land. In West Virginia, 14 activists shut down a massive drag line for several hours. The drag line is a humongous piece of machinery used for the extraction of so-called clean coal. And last but not least, rabble rousers in New York City busted into several corporate stores and read aloud excerpts from the controversial French book, The Coming Insurrection, which was recently published into English. The anonymously authored book rightly predicts the imminent collapse of capitalist culture.
What is called catastrophe is no more than the forced suspension of this state.
Stop the exchange!
Of those rare moments when we regain some sort of presence in the world.
My translation? The summer of rage has officially begun. As I traversed the United States on expensive gas and cheap burritos, I heard of Obama's overhyped speech to the Muslim world in Cairo.
It is agonizing for America to lose our young men and women. It is costly and politically difficult to continue this conflict. We would gladly bring every single one of our troops home.
Does anybody else smell bullshit? To decipher Barack's doublespeak, I spoke with renegade Professor Ward Churchill, Bill O'Reilly's worst nightmare, and author of A Little Matter of Genocide. Hey, Prof, how the fuck are you?
How am I? I'm good.
So, check this shit out.
Palestinians must abandon violence. Resistance through violence and killing is wrong, and it does not succeed. For centuries, black people in America suffered the lash of the whip as slaves and the humiliation of segregation. But it was not violence that won full and equal rights. It was a peaceful and determined insistence upon the ideals at the center of America's founding. This same story can be told by people from South Africa to South Asia, from Eastern Europe to Indonesia. It's a story with a simple truth. Violence is a dead end. It is a sign neither of courage nor power to shoot rockets at sleeping children or to blow up old women on a bus. That's not how moral authority is claimed. That's how it is surrendered.
So he followed that by announcing the withdrawal of U.S. military forces from Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, and elsewhere around the planet immediately.
Wait, really?
Because violence never accomplishes a rightful objective, right? And U.S. aircraft and drones will no longer be firing missiles into buses filled with old women and children. Is that correct? No, that's absolutely nauseatingly Obama. If they believed that for a moment, he'd be doing the things I just talked about. Oh, only when you are in resistance to oppression in the existing order is it that violence supposedly never accomplishes anything. He, like everybody else who's been in position of power, presidential power, or something related in the United States in the course of its history, is perfectly willing to wield power in order to accomplish results, unless he's denouncing the entire structure, existence, and history of the United States. That was absolutely hypocritical rhetoric.
So what the fuck does that have to do with the Israeli-Palestinian clusterfuck?
Israel was born in violence and terrorism. The methods used by Arab terrorists at present were learned from Zionist terrorists who constructed the state of Israel on that basis, destabilized the region to the point where you had the creation of state by third party in the United Nations, supported by Great Britain and the United States at the time, and subsequently supported as well. Unless he considers the state of Israel to be illegitimate, you again have that aura of absolutely hypocritical rhetoric attaching. Either that or he's utterly ignorant of the facts of the situation. I don't believe he's ignorant. I do believe he's a hypocrite.
And what about Obama's assertion that black liberation occurred purely through nonviolent means?
At best, he does not know his own history. And that's a history that occurred in the 1960s with the civil rights movement he's talking about. Martin Luther King was disparaged and targeted for elimination as a communist or a comm simp or an uppity Negro or any of a number of other things depending on the perspective, the standpoint, the status of the individual who was disparaging, whether they were in the FBI, whether they were in Congress, whether they were in state government, whether they were the local white residents of Jim Crow South. Okay? King got essentially nowhere in very real terms, right up to the point where, well, I suppose another individual came up with the slogan, but Stokely Carmichael made the speech on black power and repudiated nonviolence. Now you got something that's scarier than the changing of the status quo. King becomes the preferred option. Okay, the black power advocates, the black liberation movement, that struggle empowered King to become essentially a symbolic token for a rearrangement of power relations that would not otherwise have been attainable. And that's an absolute insult to the memory of the people who struggled in armed capacity in concert with King's movement in the South and did a considerable amount of sacrifice, considerable amount of suffering, and considerable amount of dying to break that particular status quo at that particular point. Barack Obama is not the least in terms of owing them an absolutely unequivocal debt for what they did, and for him to just eclipse them in his revisionist account of how that process worked is inexcusable.
Thanks, Prof. And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine. I want to say whoop whoop to all the slaves who helped out with the West Coast tour and who made this show possible. This list is way too fucking long to read this time around, but know that if you were here right now, I'd buy you a beer. So stay tuned for a North American East Coast tour in the fall. To comment on this show or for links to the coming insurrection, just visit my fucking website, stimulator.tv. Smell you later.
Remember, kids, you can podcast high quality video of this show at submedia.tv.
Anything else you want to add?
Well, I really hate to advocate booze or drugs or violence or insanity to anybody, but it's always worked pretty well for me. It's Hunter S. Thompson.